show some love this morning. The text, First John 3:17-18. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is our text. In the name of our God of all love, dear friends in Christ, as the family was going home from church one Sunday, the young girl in the back seat asked her parents, "Is it true what the pastor said this morning in his sermon?" And the mom said, "Well, what was that?" "Well, he said that one of the reasons that God put us here on earth was so that we could help other people." Thought about it a little bit. They said, "Yes, that's certainly true." And she said, "Well, but what are the others for?" And maybe at times we felt that way. You know, it seems as though everybody's got their hand out. You know, there's the United Way and the March of Dimes and the Red Cross, and the list goes on and on. And then we hear about earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and floods and fires, and it seems as though everybody's got their hand out wanting something from us. And so the question comes, but when is it our turn to be the ones that other people will be helping? Don't get the idea that I'm going to tell you, "You know what, you've done enough. Let's take a half a year. Let's take a year off from helping other people." But rather than we recognize the Lord has blessed us and called upon us to be the ones to be caring for others as we are able. Who of us would want to trade places with them? That we would be the ones who are hurting, the ones who are the poor and needy, and the others are the ones who have been blessed, and we sit back and just wait and hope that maybe somebody will care for us. And yet, as we listen to what God says in his word, and interesting, you know, way from the Old Testament, early on, what was the emphasis? Care for the widows and the orphans. And it goes all the way through, even in the New Testament, when people were sending Paul and Barnabas out, and they said, "And one of the special concerns that we have is that you care for the poor and the needy and the widows and the orphans." And Paul assured him, "Yes, that's our concern also." Listen again to our text. 1 John 3:17-18. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. St. Paul says much the same in Galatians 6:9-10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Or James 2:16-17. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. St. Paul shows that he wasn't just talking in terms of saying, "Help others, help the needy," but he's that some special ministry in terms of going to the Gentile Christians to raise up money from them to give to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem who were experiencing the famine. It's been, what, 1950 or more years since all those words were written. Things haven't changed an awful lot, have they? Even with all of our technology, there's still a lot of poor people in the world. There are a lot of needy people in the world. Now, there's something in us at times that says, well, but you know, those needy people, those poor people, they kind of bring it upon themselves. You know, if they weren't so lazy, if they could manage better, or if they were a little more educated, you know, certainly they could take care of themselves. Aren't we blessed that we aren't lazy, that we can manage so well, that we are so well educated that we can take care of ourselves? But you know, the interesting thing is that as we look at James, or we look at John, or we look at Paul, or we listen to what Jesus says, we discover that they don't say, you know what? First, judge the people and see whether they're worthy and deserving of your giving. But instead, it's as you see the poor and the needy, so open up your hearts to them. Show your love to them. In our text, right before it, the verse right before, John says that Jesus showed his love by going to the cross for us. Can you imagine the excuses that he could have come up with if he wanted an excuse to not do that? Why should I go down there to those people? Why should I even die on a cross? You know, they're just sinners and they're going to keep on sinning. They're a bunch of selfish people. You know, they brought all their troubles upon themselves. Why should I care? What a blessing for us that he didn't say that or even think that, but rather in his grace and mercy, in his agape love, that he came and willingly, for the joy that was set before him, that he went to the cross, that he might die to pay for our sins, that he might take our guilt upon himself, that he might take our punishment, even take our death, that he could offer us forgiveness and even eternal life through faith in him. We need to be careful that we don't just be looking for excuses to not help other people. A very poor man went to the house of a very wealthy man and pleaded his cause if he could just have a little bit. And the man listened to his sad tale, and then he rang for the butler and said, "Throw the man out, he's breaking my heart." But sad to say, he didn't help him. And so we recognize that, you know, it's not necessarily a person's fault when they're in poverty. And I imagine that we could all list a number of reasons why they may be poor, whether it's because of weather-related problems, whether it's because of their own illness, whether it's because of a lost job, whether the illness of a loved one that they're caring for. And so the list goes on and on. And so the concern, you know, is the Indian statement that says, you know, don't judge another man until you've walked 3 days in his own moccasins. So then we start to understand other people and their needs. Now you may be getting the impression that I'm being kind of insistent that we reach out and help, but for some very good reasons. One, obviously, because the poor and the needy need it. But a second reason, because of the witness that we give. You know, the world out there is kind of looking at the Christians to see, is it just a lot of talk about loving other people and caring for others? Or do they put their money where their mouth is? Do they put their faith into action? Do they truly care about those other people? And maybe most importantly, the third reason, because that's how God judges us and our faith. John saying, you know, if we see our brother in need and close our eyes to him, how can you even say that the love of God dwells in you? James, we're familiar with him saying, aren't we? Faith without works is dead. So to talk about my great faith, and boy, I'm going to be saved by grace alone, but then I don't reach out to care, there's no faith then. Says faith is dead. Or when Jesus says, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me. And so for those that have been helping the poor, he could say good things about them, and they weren't even aware that they were doing those things or that he was noticing. But for those who hadn't been doing anything, you know, they'd be thrown into outer darkness because they haven't cared for the poor and the needy. There were two men talking about their sons, and one just went on and on about how his son was costing him so much money. You know, now he's going to college. Do you realize how much it costs to send him to college, even just for 1 year? And then he needs a computer, and now he wants a car, and he just was going on and on and on. And the other man said, you know what, my son doesn't cost me anything. He's dead. Wow, as we listen to the church saying, you know what, here's a need of people. Here's another need of people. Here's other people that are hurting and in need, and we've been blessed. Can we help them? If the church is alive, if it's aware, it's going to be presenting the needs and giving us the opportunity to share, to help in Jesus' name. But really, no matter how large the church is, it's not reaching out in love, it's dead. And so it's not just a matter of, well, if there's a need, then I'll give. The truth is, there's always a need, isn't there? But rather, as we recognize, as the Lord has blessed us, as the Lord has touched our hearts with his love, so we in turn will reach out to others, to help them in their need, physical as well as spiritual. Amen.